in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Good morning. Okay, good. There we go. Good morning. I want to greet everyone too watching on Facebook here this morning, and thanks for worshiping with us here. And if you will, please, those joining on Facebook, open up your Bibles. We're in 1 Peter. I'll pick it up in about the end of chapter 2 here coming up in just a moment. Knee deep in this great study. Our last time in Peter. By the way, I'm playing that on the radio tomorrow just to get caught up, to go back. That's where we were at a couple weeks ago. So on the radio again, 6:30 to 7 in the morning. Or if that's too early for a lot of people. Don't nod your head. Your flag is up flying every morning when I go by there at 6 in the morning. 5:30 to 6 as well, 91.5. So that'll play tomorrow. But that's where we left off. Looking, my sermon was focusing on the rock last week. If you remember, we all stumble over the rock when we hear the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. I am the way, he says. No one comes to God the Father except by me, he says. I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. Now, as a casual observer or as an innocent bystander who's perusing the Word of God to see what it's all about, you come across a statement like that that's not written by man or spoken by man. But the Son of God says that to you today. That's the rock that you stumble over. He's in your path and you can't go around him. You need to confront head on the words of the Son of God. If not, then that rock someday will fall on you and grind you to powder, Jesus says. We read he's coming back in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God. Now, that's rather mean, isn't it? You see, today is the day of grace. You got to believe, and that's why I say my favorite verse is today. You know something? It's always today. Have you ever noticed that? It's always today. And as long as it's today, you can respond to his offer of grace that costs you nothing. It costs you nothing, but that's changing. And when it changes, he says he's coming in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God, as mean as you think that that is. That's how he's coming back. And on those that don't obey the gospel. All right, now starting today, the heading over where we're at here today is living before the world. So you're a Christian now. Better yet, you are a Christ follower. That's what the word means. How should you live? As a witness before others and before unbelievers. Peter is going to tell us that submission is the key thing. Submission to the government and those in authority. Submission to masters and submission to husbands. And a quick word for husbands regarding their wives as well. You know, we're not going to look at that. I think we'll probably pick up on that because I don't want to miss that next week on husbands that aren't good to their wives or mistreat them. He says it's for this reason your prayers are hindered. When you mistreat your wife, God shuts the door on your prayers. He's got a deaf ear to your prayers when you mistreat your wife. So, okay, let me move on here. Let's pick it up. We're in chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 11. So now you can't say I didn't cover that part. That's probably worst of all, though we're not covering it. Is God to turn a deaf ear to your prayers? How many men want that? Smart people in this church. Chapter 2, verse 11. He says, beloved, he said, look at the first three words. I beg you. The word parakalo means I plead with you. A very important or very essential thing for Peter. He's pleading with you. He's begging you to do this. As sojourners and pilgrims, remember, you're just passing through this world. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. And he's going to plead and beg with you that as you're passing through this world, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Amen. Now your soul is the key part of you. Because your soul can go either way, however you feed it. Your soul is greatly influenced by what you put into it. So your soul is the one part of you to attack as well. Paul said this, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But if you wanted to, you could put soul there as well. Don't be like this world. Don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul. Your soul. Your mind is part of what makes up your soul. I believe, like a lot of charismatics believe on this, that you are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. The Bible seems to teach this. Listen to this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. You're a three-part being. Body, soul, and spirit. All right, if one verse isn't enough, let me give you one more. Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. Now, sometimes, some Bible writers, sometimes that's interchangeable. Like when you see up in Revelation, I saw the souls of those under the altar. He didn't see minds under the altar or hearts. He didn't see your intellect. But sometimes spirit and soul, sometimes in the Bible, it's interchangeable. Okay. Your spirit is the part of you that's born again. 1 Corinthians 6:17 declares, he who was joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Think about that. He who was joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I don't think your spirit sins. I think your flesh and your body is what sins. Your body is what lets you down. Not your spirit. Your spirit's one with the Lord. Your flesh, Paul said, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. All right. So it's like Godzilla versus Mothra. You got a fight going on here. There's one person, there's one part of you that makes you up that's left. Your soul. Your soul means your intellect, your mind, your seat of emotions. You can influence that today. And that determines whether or not you get the daily victory here in this world. What do you do with your soul? Paul said, don't be like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul or your mind. Feed your soul with this. Read the Word of God. Listen to sermons on the radio. Listen to praise music. Surround yourself with praise music. Surround yourself with things the Holy Spirit... feed your soul with things that the Holy Spirit likes. And you'll get this victory. And you'll kick the devil out of your house, out of your head. Your flesh is worthless. Your flesh, sin has got a 99-year lease in your body. And it's a free lease. It costs him nothing. And he won't go away. You've got to find another way. His flesh is not the way. The way is your soul and what you do with it. That's why Peter says here what he says. These things, they war against your soul. Your flesh, the NIV calls it your sinful nature. Your flesh. Okay, let me move on here. But this is how you win these daily battles. Feeding your soul instead of your flesh. Now listen to this verse here. Romans 8:5. It says, those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, neither is it able to. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So with that in mind, Peter tells us, Peter begs us, pleads with us, as people, Christians, that are just passing through this world, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's a fight going on. This is where the inner conflict comes from. There's a fight going on for you, and it's being waged by you, and it's being fought against you. It's you versus you. Who's going to win? Well, what Paul says, thanks be to God, Brent, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the power to obliterate sin in your life. You get out this old gavel and you smash that old devil over the head. Bill, I'll get you one of these when you get back pastoring. Say, Pastor Paul gave it to me. Whoop some devil, get him out. The victory is ours. Amen. But you can't get it with the flesh. Impossible. All right, Peter continues. Verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We see Christians behaving badly all the time, don't we? And the end result is egg on God's face. Because people know you are a Christian. And they're watching to see if you are any different than everyone else out here in the world today. Look at what happened to the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. Acts 16:25, it says, midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And the prisoners are watching you as well, church. They're watching you to see if you're just like the world, or to see if this Jesus fellow is real in your life. They want to see if you're scared to walk outside like everyone else. They want to see if you're scared of getting sick like everyone else. Are you any different than the world, or are you just the same? The unbelievers are watching you. They're watching to see if you're any different than everyone else. Do you trust God to get through these things you're going through? Now, verse 13 starts with the word therefore. And the therefore in this case means, how you need to conduct yourself out here in the world. Remember, he just said, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that by your doing good things that they're watching you, they may end up glorifying God. Now, verse 13, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors. Uh-oh. Hello, Gretchen. I done failed that one, huh?
Submit yourself to Gretchen.
The governor of Michigan, who 2 years later has everyone still locked up in their house for the love of Pete. You guys are from Michigan. You ain't going back this year, are you? Why go back and lock yourself in a house? Science says to go lock yourself up at home. Science says don't go out for a bologna sandwich. But you got a conflict here. The word of God says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That is, not for Gretchen's sake, for his sake. So that when people look at you, they'll see you're different than everyone else. By golly, do I fail that. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether the king as supreme. Now remember, too, that Nero was feeding Christians to the lions when he wrote this, and using Christians, dipping them in oil, and using them as human torches to light his little playground. While that was going on, remember, Nero killed Peter. He crucified him upside down some 3 years after writing this. He tells you, with everything that he knows, he says to act and treat and respect the government this way, or to governors. Verse 14, as to those that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, I love the way this Bible translation reads here. Here it goes. Verse 13. This is the New Living Translation. Let me read it. It says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as the head of state, or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. You see, arguments won't win this. Submission wins this. And godliness. Submission and godliness. Last two verses of this paragraph. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. Love the family of unbelievers. I'm sorry. No, that was an accident. Love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. So live like this and you'll do fine. Now what I'm about to say is not going to make any friends, but rather just more enemies. But I'm on a roll anyway, so why stop now? Here it goes. If you live like this, like the Bible instructs you, then you won't get shot by police. Or much like less likely to be false accused of a crime and put in jail. But if you live like a devil, or if you walk in sin, you take yourself out of God's protection. And a new catchphrase I've just invented today. It's called the law of happenstance. When you walk in sin, you are out of the protection of God, and you are now living under the law of happenstance, where stray bullets hit you, where feet get put over your neck, where innocent bystanders die. Don't walk in sin, and these things won't happen to you. Pick and choose anyone you want to see for the last 5 years who has been died and killed, and you'll see every one of them was walking in sin. Stop sinning, and this won't happen to you. Stop sinning. What was once random is now even money. That is freak things happening to you, like a freak injury or a random stray bullet like that which killed Ahab, or some sort of accident, or even being accidentally killed. All these things that shouldn't happen when you're walking in sin, this is now the law of happenstance hangs over you like the sword of Damocles, where anything can happen to you when you're walking in sin. Paul put it this way, Romans 13, once again, out of the New Living Translation, verse 1, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Remember, he wrote this when Nero was emperor. He is saying Nero comes from God, came from God, feeding Christians at Alliance. Verse 2. So anyone who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Now, Paul asked the question to all of us this morning, and what he says next. He says, would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? He's asked it 2,000 years ago. He's asking you a question. Black, white, Hispanic, African American, Italian, German, no matter who you are, would you like to live a life not in fear of the authorities? Then he answers, do what is right, and they will honor you. Golly, that's just so simple, isn't it, Bill? Me and Bill used to do a radio show, and Bill says, you know, I said, Bill, you ought to run for president or Congress or something. And Bill goes, I know the easy way to do it is just to get up and say, everything you've ever heard about me is probably true. And just go out and say it first and get it over with. Then all the lies and the stuff won't work against you. We are sinners redeemed by grace. That's the end of all arguments, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. What you heard about me is right. And not just you, but me and all of us. What you heard about me is probably right, but my God is bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Then do what is right, and they will honor you. And don't tell me this is a racist country. This country elected Barack Obama twice as president. All the white people here voted, the majority of white people voted for Barack Obama as president. You want to talk about racism? You watch the Masters golf from 6 or 8 years ago, and you watch the way white people treated Tiger Woods. No, it's these politicians. They stir up this stuff to get people at each other's throats. Watch, you Google what happened to Tiger Woods, and you watch the way people, white people, idolize this guy. They love him like they love anyone, because white people aren't racists, most part. We love people. That's the common response, is the way white people treated Tiger Woods for winning a green jacket. That's the normal. White people voting for Barack Obama is the normal. What you hear out here is evil deception getting you to hate people. Because Satan gets you to hate, God wants you to love. By this all, John 13:35, 1 John 3:14, by this all men will know you're my disciples, that you love one another. It's the press that wants you to hate people.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Shine.